Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. It is good to be with you. I always look forward to our times together meeting with the Lord. They are a blessing to me, and I pray that they are for you as well. As we gather today, or at least as I film this today, it's a beautiful day here. It was quite rainy over the weekend. It's clearing off now. It's cloudy. It looks like it could rain. The forecast is for it not to rain, but the weather pattern the last several days, it could go either way, but nevertheless, it's a beautiful day. I look forward to the time when we can film on the back porch again. We've had several families of birds that have been nesting around our house, and right now the parents are busy feeding the young ones. Some of the young ones have begun to fly. We've even seen some of them take their first flight, and I don't want to be in the way of any of that action taking place. So we'll continue to film inside until all those families are grown and gone. But again, it's a beautiful day, and I trust that you're having a good day where you are, both in terms of the weather, whenever it is that you're watching this, and the conditions and circumstances around your house and around your life. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. You see me, but they're behind the scenes producing, making this happen. So I'm very thankful for them. But obviously, more than anyone, I'm thankful to our Lord. He loves us. He created us. He has, in fact, redeemed us through his own death, burial, and resurrection. He has sent his Spirit to speak to us. He wants us to know him. He's given us his word this time, this way of being together. And so since he's brought us to himself and he desires to speak to us, let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've sent to us. Lord, for the rain over the weekend. Lord, the breaking of the rain today. Lord, just the beauty that we have seen in this spring, Lord, with all the plants and trees budding and flowering. Father, just the fun, the enjoyment, Lord, of watching birds, Father, build nests, have young, feed the young, watching them fly. Father, just the testimony, O God, of your power, your greatness, your beauty, and your glory. And Father, we come to now. We want to hear from you. Open our minds and our hearts. Enable us, O Lord, to understand your word and not just mentally understand it, but Father, in our heart, help us to hear you speak to us. Lord, change our lives. Lord, let us see you as who you are more fully than we ever have before. And Lord, may it completely change our life and our walk, we pray. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's no hiding or escaping the reality of these days in which we live. Certainly very evil, very dark days. Whether you're talking about crime and violence that's in the streets, whether you're talking about wrongdoing and even the highest of offices and the twisting and warping of justice, and you see the moneyed and the powerful individuals behind all of that, it's very easy for us to look at that and wonder, how are we supposed to live in days like these? How are we supposed to live in such evil, wicked times? How do we face these times? How do we function in these times? Well, that's exactly what we see as we open God's Word today and we come to Psalm 37. It's a beautiful psalm. To be perfectly honest with you, it's one of my favorites. It is so full of truth that so applies for our lives, especially in days like today, that frankly, we're only going to look at the first six verses today, and we'll look at the subsequent parts in the coming weeks. But as we look at even just these first six verses, we are in fact shown how to live in these evil days. And we do it by our trust and our confidence in our Lord, obviously. But look at how that is driven home in this psalm. As we begin looking through just these first six verses, the first thing that I want us to see is the promise to the believer. That is the promise that God has made his children, those who know Christ as their Savior. If you don't know Christ, I invite you today to place your trust in the one, the only begotten Son of God, who came, lived a perfect life, died in our place for our sins, was buried and rose again to give eternal life to any who place their faith and trust in him. If you've never done that, I invite you to do it. But for all who have, those who are truly believers, those who are his children, we see a wonderful promise given to us here. Look at verses 1 and 2. Do not fret because of evildoers. How easy it is to do that every time when you listen to the news. Be not envious toward wrongdoers. In other words, they seem to be getting by with it, and you think, why can't I? Look at verse 2. For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. God will, in fact, deal with the wicked. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what position of power or prominence they have. It matters not how many resources they have at their disposal, or what moneyed, powerful, resourced individuals behind them are, in fact, supporting them. It doesn't make any difference. In his perfect means, in his perfect time, by his perfect desire, God will in fact deal with them. We can live every day in the confidence that all this sin and evil and wickedness that we see taking place around us, it's not lost to God. He's not blind to it, and he's not just letting it get by. God will in fact deal with it. And so we have the wonderful promise from God that he will deal with all of this sin and evil and wickedness that we see taking place from the streets to the highest level offices and levels of influence in our nation and, in fact, around the world. As we've stated before, that's not to say that we rejoice in God's judgment falling upon any particular soul, but the fact that the sin, the evil, the wickedness will not be allowed to go unchecked. God will, in fact, deal with it. That is, in fact, the wonderful promise from God. But then that still leaves us then with the question, what then should we do? How should we live in these days? Yes, we have this absolute confidence that God will in fact deal with the situation as he has promised to do, but what do we need to do? How do we need to live in these times? Well, look at what we see as we begin looking now at verses 3-6. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. No doubt most of those verses, if not all of them, are very familiar to you. They may be among some of your favorite passages in God's Word, specifically in the book of Psalms. You may even have memorized one or two of those verses. They're among my favorite, and it's amazing how they speak to us. There's so much there. How do we need to live in these days? We need to, in fact, trust the Lord. Again, you think about what we see in verse 3. Trust in the Lord. That is, put our confidence, our trust, our reliance upon him. And that doesn't merely mean just a passive acceptance that, you know, that wonderful promise that we just talked about, that God will in fact bring it about. It doesn't just simply mean to, you know, accept the fact that someday, somewhere, God will deal with it. It means to actively live based on that trust. Much like you see in the book of Hebrews. You go to Hebrews 11, but a lot of times we refer to it as the Christian Hall of Faith, the Hall of Fame of Faith. Individuals, you know, who showed their faith. But what is interesting, you know, by faith this character did this. By faith this next character did this. There was always an active element to their faith. It is not merely, you know, just a mental understanding that God is going to deal something, but it's putting your complete trust and confidence in God. Used this illustration before. It's not original with me. It's the best I've heard, and it's good probably because I didn't come up with it. But I've used the illustration before. But it's like me in this rocking chair. You know, I could walk by this room. I could even walk over here and look at this chair, and I could look it over and feel of it and see how it's made and think in my mind, yeah, that chair will hold me up, and then walk away. That's not the kind of trust. That's not the kind of faith that we're talking about, nor that you see in God's Word. When we talk about trusting in the Lord, it means walking over here. And certainly common sense would indicate that you look over the chair to make sure that it looks solid. But then you put your weight, you put your confidence upon it. You base your actions upon it. I'm sitting here filming. I have confidence this chair is going to hold me up. And so I'm completely resting upon it as I do this that I think God wants us to do in our here. That's what we mean by trust. It's not passive indifference, not being disconnected, not merely something mental. It's putting our complete weight, trust, and confidence, as I have done in this chair. So when we talk about trusting the Lord, it means it's not just, again, a passive thing, but we put our confidence in Him and we base our actions, our decisions, our life, our living upon it. And that leads us to the second thing, or to be, if you're following the outline, that is to obey the Lord. You know, yes, trust in the Lord, but as a result of that, you obey. What's the old song? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's exactly what we see here. Again, we see the trust element. It's stated very clearly, trust in the Lord. Well, how should that trust be seen? Well, it's always seen in obedience. And do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Do good, that is to walk in obedience unto the Lord, live the way He would have you to live. Dwell in the land. Remember, this was written, you know, to initially to the Jews, and their whole, God's calling for them was to live in the nation of Israel. So that is walking in obedience unto them. Cultivate faithfulness, that is, build in your life a life that is, in fact, lived in obedience unto the Lord. All of that song about a walk of obedience, it shows the reality of our faith. And there's no way that we can experience God's blessings outside of obedience. And so we need to, in fact, obey the Lord. You know, in these sinful days in which we live in, it is so easy to compromise. And the greater the pressure is upon us, the more tempted we are to compromise. But if we truly believe God, we will in fact put our complete confidence, our full weight upon Him, and then we'll act as He wants us to act, live as He wants us to live. And so we in fact need to obey Him. But look what else we see in this passage. See, delight in the Lord. Think about what we see in verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. To delight in the Lord means that we, in fact, love Him, that we seek Him. It means that we, in fact, put Him first in our life. We love Him. You think about what we see over in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. When we're talking about loving the Lord, it's not merely an emotional thing. In fact, it's really emotion. It has very little to do with it. To love the Lord means that we allow Him to have the authority to control our life. Love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and might. The idea being there is the fact that we allow God to guide our thinking, that we measure our thinking compared to how God would want us to think. Our speech, is this what God wants me to say? Our actions, is this how God wants me to act? To love Him means to truly put God first. And notice the result of that. And this is the verse that you probably have memorized, even if you haven't tried to. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. The wonderful promise is, as we put God first, as we love Him, He will lay upon our heart the things that He wants us to desire. And because those are the things He's put there, we can have confidence that that is God's will and that He will fulfill it. It doesn't mean that we can merely sing a few praise choruses and then God gives us what we want. That's not the, and I know sometimes it has been mistaught and warped and twisted that way. But we delight in the Lord. We make Him first in our life. As we do that, He lays upon our heart what He wants us to desire. We can then have confidence that it's from Him, and we can follow Him. And how needed that is for us in this time to know what God wants to do. And so we delight in the Lord. But notice as well, we need to follow the Lord. And obviously, all of these are very closely linked together. But you think about what we see in verses 5 through 6. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Commit, that is, let Him guide you. Follow Him as He guides. Again, you think about that psalm, probably, if it's not your favorite, it's one of your favorites, the 23rd Psalm. How the shepherd, you know, guides his sheep and provides for them and protects them. That the sheep only experience that if they follow Him. Listen, are you following the Lord in this time? Yes, it's becoming increasingly more difficult every day. You know, spiritually, as we look upon this landscape, which is the valley of the shadow of death, but we need not fear an evil. Why? For He, the shepherd, is with us. His rod, His staff, they comfort us. But we need to, in fact, follow Him. Again, the result of that, the latter part of verse 5, going through verse 6. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment in the noonday. What a wonderful promise. Even for evil days, because remember, that's the backdrop. The whole backdrop was not fretting because of evildoers. And again, how easy it is for us to do that. I know many times a day I get burdened and concerned when I keep up with the news. And yet you think about the instructions that we see again in verses 3 through 6. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment is the noonday. What a wonderful promise we have for living in the evil days that we are. What wonderful instruction. God has shown us what to do, how to live in these evil days. May we be faithful to do it. And as a result of that, we'll experience the wonderful promise of God. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You, O God, for Your word, Your guidance for living in these days. And Father, may we, O Lord, as we have read this, O God, Lord, may we truly walk in faith and obedience. May we follow You. Lord, may we look upon You, rest in You. Father, You are our strength and our shield, our only hope in these days. May we live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope even in these evil days that you experience the closeness and the goodness of our Lord. I hope that you do walk in faith and obedience unto Him, following Him, loving Him. I hope as a result of that you experience His goodness in your life today.